pray before we get in the Word today. We're on a series of lessons called I'm Supposed to Grow. I'm Supposed to Grow. Before we jump into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank you again today for the awesome honor and privilege of coming before you now at this time, that we've worshipped you, we've lifted our hands, we've raised our voice, we've sensed your presence. We've seen people follow you, Jesus, in water baptism, identifying with your death, burial, and resurrection. And so now, as we open up the Word of God, we find from the Scripture that you said the Word and Jesus are one. So as we open up the Word this morning, we're spending time with Jesus. Holy Spirit, reveal truth to our hearts today. Open up our eyes, open up our ears, our hearts to receive wonderful and amazing things from your ever-living Word. And today, we will be changed in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, look at your neighbor and just say, I'm supposed to grow. Come on, tell them, I'm supposed to grow. Come on, tell somebody else, I'm supposed to grow. Come on, I'm supposed to grow. I'm supposed to grow. I'm supposed to grow. Now, we're not talking about going to the buffet and growing that way, because we all can grow that way. We're really talking about growing spiritually. The key scripture for us is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We looked at it last week. Look at one more time. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, and he says this, I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you're not able to receive it. For even now you're not able. For you're still carnal or natural. He says there's envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men or natural men? For one says, someone says, I'm of Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? We said last week that the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. We found out that he already wrote one letter that we kind of don't have. It just didn't make its way to the Bible, and really nobody knows exactly where that is. It got lost somehow. And we found out that the Apostle Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, and at that time there was confusion in the church, and then a woman in the church named Chloe sent stuff back to Paul to try to, you know, ask some questions about some trouble that was going on. And while the letter was going to Chloe, a delegation from the church actually came and began asking Paul about some other questions. So Paul penned a letter, sent stuff back through Chloe, sent stuff back with a letter, and here is the letter we've got, 16 chapters to a certain church, addressing lots of questions. But we found out one of the main things, the key of what we're talking about here, is to try to find a timeline, not that we can pinpoint anything exactly in our life, but Paul talks to these people, and he says, I couldn't talk to you as a spiritual person, but a carnal person. He says, you know, I can't even up until now talk to you as a spiritual person. So what we did is we kind of went back and we kind of discovered that Paul set this timeline for a person that makes Jesus Christ the Lord of their life to where there is growth in their life, where there is change in their life, where someone then could be changed from or identified from a carnal person, a natural person, a flesh-ruled person, a person that when things don't go the way, they get angry, they get frustrated, they used to curse, they used to, you know, flip people off, they used to kick things, punch stuff, they used to be a fighter, a brawler, a carnal person. Paul puts a time frame of about 4 to 7 years. Somewhere around 4 to 7 years that Paul says every Christian should by this point be mature. So the question for all of us is, are we? Where are we at in that pot, you know, that paradigm? Where are we at in our spiritual growth? I mean, we all know, I've got four kids and my youngest is a senior in high school, and we always ask our kids, how are you doing in school? You know, when they get a little bit older, how are your grades going? You know, and now you can check online and you can see progress. You have progress reports. You go and you talk to teachers because you're very concerned as a parent, the growth, natural growth of your children. Well, we're real concerned with the natural growth, but how about for our own lives and the lives of our children as well, for spiritual growth? Our children have to take tests. Our children have to have assignments. Our children have pop quizzes so that they can pass or else they have to stay behind. We do this at work also. The other day, I was at one of my favorite hangouts, Starbucks. Can I get an amen in the house? And a new guy named Danny was there. And Danny's a new guy. I just met him yesterday. I knew one of the baristas behind Rex. And I'm standing, sitting down there having my coffee, and I'm overhearing a conversation when there's not anybody in the room. And the assistant manager, or I don't know if that's what his title was, but he all of a sudden just looks at Danny and says, Danny, how do you make a... And he wants Danny to tell him. He said, no, 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 Danny. He said, tell me exactly, item by item, in the proper order, how you make this certain drink. He's schooling him. He's testing him. He's seeing if Danny then will not mess up on your drink. Growth. Everything in the kingdom of God, everything naturally, is required to grow. So the question for all of us, are you growing spiritually? Are you growing spiritually? And what does that mean? Are you further down the road, we said last week? Are you further down the road in biblical understanding and application? Are you further down the road? Are you stunted? Or are you stymied? Are you stuck? Have you come to a certain level? A great preacher years and years ago, he's already gone to heaven, but he said this. He said, most people don't progress beyond their initial revelation of who Jesus is. Meaning, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you've got a stamp ticket to go to heaven, and that's as far as they go with understanding and spiritual growth. God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want that for me either. This past week, Kimberly and I were in Las Vegas. We went to go see our son and daughter-in-law. I got to hang out with them a while. But while we were there, the main reason we were there is we went to a conference. And I heard some things from some speakers that I was never identified with. I've never heard them, never listened to them. And I was in awe. I was there taking notes. Come on. I was taking notes. I'm writing stuff down. I got my phone out. We bought all the CDs. We got the DVDs as well. Why? I want to grow. I want to learn. I don't want to stay the same. Come on. If I know just what I know right now, I'm not going to be as effective in reaching people that I need to be. Neither are you. So I need to keep growing. You do too. That's why we need to better ourselves. That's why we need to come to church. Let me help you out this morning. If you don't write stuff down, you will not remember. You will not remember. Now, everything we do at Spectrum here at church, you can go online the next week and the service will be online. You can download it for our podcast, for your phone, whatever, how you want to do it. But we encourage you to write things down, because one of the tools of the enemy, I really believe, is just to cause you to forget. We just don't remember everything. So I implore you to write things down. So spiritual growth or discipleship has just got to be the goal for every believer. It's got to be the goal. So we think, we act, and we talk like Jesus. Think, act, and talk like Jesus. And wherever you're at is really irrelevant, but the thought is, I want to keep moving forward, that I think like Jesus, I act like Jesus, I talk like Jesus, and I start and continue in my spiritual growth and my spiritual journey. We said this last week, that the discipleship pathway, I really believe, involves a couple of things. Large group meetings on Sunday morning, like what we're doing right now, and then also smaller groups during the week. I believe you'll really get a chance to see how you can be developed spiritually, we could say, or who you, we could say it this way, who you associate with will determine where you make it in life. So somebody said, I can tell how you are based on the friends you run with. And so we want to encourage this. Something we're going to be starting the new year. We're going to be launching small groups. We're going to call them circle groups. Because we don't only learn in rows at church, we learn in circles. Small groups, intimate groups with a few people where we can look at the Word of God and we can discuss things and we can grow. Come on, everybody needs to be connected somewhere, amen? Everybody needs to be connected in a group. We said this last week by way of reminder, spiritual growth is intentional. Come on, say that with me, will you? Spiritual growth is intentional. In other words, you don't grow by accident. We said this, spiritual growth is relational. Come on, say that with me, will you? Spiritual growth is relational. You learn better in a group. You learn better in a group. And lastly, spiritual growth is a journey. Come on, say that, will you? Spiritual growth is a journey. You just never quit learning. You just never quit learning. No one arrives. We must continually always challenge ourselves in our spiritual growth. We don't arrive. It's not like I've checked that box off. I don't need to learn anymore. I don't need to read anymore. I don't need to increase anymore. I don't need to push any more weight. I don't need to stretch anymore. Can I just tell you, honestly, we see stuff in our physical bodies. We see stuff in our exercise routines. We see stuff in our eating routines. And we see when we're doing good, and then we see when we're not doing so good. Come on, somebody. Anybody up with me? I try to exercise very regularly, at least 4 days a week, sometimes 5 days a week. It's just good for me. I feel better when I'm doing it. Well, for the last 2 weeks, I have been on a hiatus. We had meetings up in Oxnard, and then I came back, and I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to the gym today. How many know when you say, I'm not going today, the next day is a little easier not to go? Come on, somebody. And so I said, well, now I got some meetings. I'm not going to go in there, you know. And then Kimberly was out of town. And dear God, you know, And then we went to Las Vegas. And come on, you don't exercise in Las Vegas. Come on. And so here was, I was about almost 2 weeks, no gym. Decided to go yesterday. I went yesterday. And I've been really trying to work on this core business. Come on, somebody. I've been really trying to work on this core business. And I started doing some core exercises, and I started cramping up bad. 2 weeks, haven't been doing it, and I started cramping. And I went, I tell you what, I hate this body. I can't wait for the glorified body, you know, glorified body. But it's just, we don't do it. We get out of a routine. People don't come to church for 2 or 3 weeks, and the devil beats the tar out of you for not coming to church and condemning you and guilting you. You don't read the Word. You know you should. You don't read the Word. You don't challenge yourself to grow spiritually. And so you get in that cycle, then guilt and shame and, dear God, what's the use? And pretty soon you slip back to old lifestyle. Old habits come. Old friends come. Old addictions come. Old desires come. And now all of a sudden the old man jumps back on you. You used to be a new man. You are a new man, but you're not looking like a new man. You got a new man in a carnal body. And you just slip back. So I want to implore you, just stick at it and don't quit. Just don't quit. John 15, everybody, look on the screen. Turn there if you know the scripture. John 15, 1 and 2. Let's look at several verses from John. John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine, Jesus talking. My Father is the vine dresser, or He's the farmer, He's the owner. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, what's He do? Come on, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, what's He do? What's it say? Come on, read the Word. Come on, but He takes it away, right? He takes. You don't bear fruit, guess what He does? He takes it away. Word. That's the Word. That's the Word. Every branch that bears fruit, what's He going to do? Prune. That you may bear what? More fruit. More fruit. So there's no growth, He's going to cut the branch off. No growth. There's no growth. No growth. So He cuts that branch off. But every branch that is growing, guess what He's going to do? He's going to cut that branch anyway. So that branch can produce more fruit. It can be pruned. He talks here about two levels of bearing fruit. He says, bears fruit, number one. Then notice the last two words in the scripture. More fruit. Bears more fruit. Fruit and more fruit. In verse 5, He says this, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, or he who's connected in me, and I in him, bears, come on somebody, much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Fruit. More fruit. Now He says, much fruit. In verse 8, He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So right there it tells me Jesus connects me and you being a disciple with bearing fruit. Much fruit. More fruit. Increased levels of fruit. We bear much fruit. Disciples are supposed to bear fruit. Me and you are supposed to have a fruitful life, doing the will of God, knowing the Word of God, fruitful in our call and fruitful in our assignment, and not staying stagnant, not staying neglected, not staying barren. Our lives are supposed to make a difference for the people we're supposed to touch. Can I get an amen? Amen. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit, Jesus says here. So disciples are supposed to produce fruit. And there is synonyms in the Bible. Supposedly, a believer is a Christian, is a disciple, is a fruit bearer. That supposedly is what's supposed to happen. Not just a Christian or a believer and we go to heaven and don't do anything on the earth. No, we are supposed to grow. We are supposed to make a difference in the assignment God's given us. John 15, 16 says this, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That's what I appointed you to do. Go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. You make an eternal difference. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. Really, He's talking in context about this fruit of prayer here specifically. But again, the thought is that we bear fruit, we bear more fruit, we bear much fruit, and that our fruit remains, that there's a lasting impact in what we're doing for Jesus Christ on the earth. When you leave the earth, who cares what happens with your house? Who cares what happens with your house? Who cares what happens with your car? Who cares what happens with your vacation home? Who cares what happens with your bank account? The only thing that's going to matter is who did you affect for Jesus Christ? What eternal difference did you make here on the earth? That's what our lives ought to be pointing toward. And that ought to be the fruit and the direction and the spiritual growth of our lives. That's what really should matter. Now, how much money I have, and how big the house is, now where I got to vacation or didn't, What am I doing with my life? How am I growing? How am I affecting change in other people? How am I letting God work His perfect work in me? And me just getting out of the way and me identifying with His death, burial, and resurrection, me identifying with Jesus Christ and letting His power, the power of the Holy Spirit, flow in me to flow to me, through me, and touching other people's lives so that the fruit of my life remains even when you leave the earth. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand, will you, this morning? Amen. I believe it. There's three things in the Scripture that talk about these words that we've looked at before. Some of you familiar with this. You'll see where I'm going with this. But it talks about going from this place to this place, and it uses the same word. The first one is this word called glory to glory. God wants to bring you from glory to glory. The Scripture references in 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Apostle Paul writing to that church, and he says, we all, with an unveiled face, we're not covered. If you read back in the Scripture, he's talking about when Moses went up to the mountain, and he came down with the Ten Commandments. The people said, man, Moses, put a veil over your face. We can't look at you because the glory of the presence of God is beaming from your face. He'd been in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. The people couldn't look at him. They saw just a light beam. It was blinding. So Moses actually put a veil over his face. Now the New Testament says the Word of God is not veiled anymore. You don't have to put a cover. I don't understand it. I can't see it. God says, nah. The Word of God takes the veil off you that you can see exactly who you are. You can see exactly who Jesus is. You can see who the enemy is. And you can see the victory that Jesus Christ has for you in your life. Look what he says. We all with an unveiled face, we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We read the Word and it's like a mirror. He says we're being transformed into the same image, here it is, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, from glory to glory. Increasing levels, growth, growing from one level of glory to another. Another, the power of God, the Spirit of God, the will of God, working our life from one degree to another. Like that Scripture in Ephesians 3, exceeding, abundant, above, and beyond. Different levels. Different levels of glory. There's more the Spirit of God that you can enjoy. Come on, somebody. Look on the screen. The more you look to God, the more you'll see. The more you look to God, the more you'll see. The more you look to God, the more you reflect for others to see. The more you look to God, the more you'll reflect for others to see. You're in the Word. You're reading the Word. You're being changed yourself. There's no veil. You're saying, God, change me. God, work your perfect work in me. Use me in a new way. I want to bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit. I want my fruit to remain. As you press in with Him, God brings you from one level to another level to another level to another level where more of Him is working in you. You're yielding yourself more and more to the Spirit of God inside you. Glory to glory. The second reference is in Psalm 85. Psalm 85, verse 5 through 7. Says this, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage or a journey. As they pass through the valley of Baca, maybe some of you have a translation there, a little note, it says the valley of weeping. You pass through a valley of weeping. It says they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Come on, say strength to strength. That was a little weak. Come on, strength to strength. Strength to strength. 2 Corinthians, we go from glory to glory. Here it says we go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. We go from strength to strength. So he says here, blessed is the man whose strength is not in himself. Blessed is the man or the woman whose strength is in God, whose heart is set on a journey. I'm not finished with my life. I'm not necessarily where I'm going to end up. I'm okay with where I'm at. Maybe I'm not okay with where I'm at, but my heart is set on a journey. And God says, I'm going to bring you from strength to strength. Don't settle in a place of weeping right now. Don't settle in a place and set your tent pegs down and say, this is where my life's always going to be. I'm going to pour a foundation in this divorce. I'm going to pour a foundation in my addiction. I'm going to pour a foundation in my bitterness and my anguish. And nobody loves me. Don't stay there. Go from strength to strength. Come on, clap a little bit more if you're going to clap. Come on, everybody. Strength to strength means endurance and capacity to carry more. Endurance and capacity to carry more. You can carry more of the purpose of God, I believe, than you realize. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to be lethargic. You don't have to be on the backside, per se. You don't have to be neglected. You just have to shape yourself. I love, you know, we read the story of Samson, and Samson had some serious missteps, but Samson did something phenomenal at the very end of his life. The Bible says a great, great scripture of hope for everybody who reads it. If you know the story, Samson was a Nazarite. One of the things he wasn't to do was to shave his hair. And the Bible says that the Philistines, he told a secret to Delilah, and they shaved his head, and his strength left him. But when they tied him there, and they were making sport of him, they were poking fun at him and his God, and they put him between those pillars of that assembly where there was 3,000 of his enemies waiting there in this Colosseum, he prayed a prayer and just said, God, give me strength one more time. Come on, somebody. Just one more time. The Bible says his hair before that began to grow. And when his hair began to grow, glory to God, his heart was being directed back toward God. And even though he wasn't exactly, you know, didn't finish his race as strong as he could have, but God had great mercy on this guy, and he did something amazing at the end of his life than he ever did culminating in the whole continuum of his life. He killed more Philistines at his death than he did in his whole life combined. Let me tell you what, can I say this to you? I believe the best days are days ahead for you. I believe the best days are days ahead. That's why you need to pray. That's why you need to study. That's why you need to read. That's why you need to walk in love. That's why you need to come to church. My best days are days ahead. Romans chapter 1, the next one, the third one, the final one here this morning. It says, I'm not ashamed. Romans 1, 16, 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. The Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the Word, the righteousness of God is revealed from, come on, faith to faith. As it is written, come on, read that with me, will you? The just shall live by faith. So he says, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul writes this again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The Word of God is the power that brings salvation to every area of my life. To a Jew or Gentile, makes no difference. Young, old, rich, poor, makes no difference. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel will bring change to your life. It'll bring salvation in every area to your life if you'll just let it. If you'll believe it, if you'll hook up with it, your mind will change, your body will change, your marriage will change, your finances will change, your past will change, come on, your future will change. You just believe the Word of God. It's the power of God. But it's going to work in a certain way, from faith to faith. There's got to be a hooking up with the Word of God. A faith that just simply means a deepening belief and a trust in God. A deepening belief and a trust in God that I refuse to stay the same. I refuse to just say, this is all it's going to be. I refuse to say, my life will always be sick. My life will always be this level. No, 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 no. For me to get out of that, I'm going to have to need more belief and more trust and more confidence in the ever-living Word of God. Can I get an amen? You know, everything, I don't know about you, but I just like stuff done. I'm the kind of guy, I've told you before, I've got a couple of tools at the house. I got a hammer and a wrench, and that's about it. Anybody like me? Come on. All the women say, yeah, okay. All the guys got tools. I'm not a tool guy. I don't enjoy anything I need at the house. I got to have somebody come help me and fix it. And with kids, I know when they were small, I'd want the bike to be done. You know, the bike came in a box. You got to put the bike together. Come on, how many know our kids struggled for days? You know what I'm saying? Happy birthday. Sorry, Dad can't put it together. Happy birthday. There's a box. You know? Wow. Kids have been scarred. Pray for them. Everything God does in the kingdom of God, though, guys, listen to me, is seed. It's seed form. It has a small beginning. It has a very small beginning. In fact, notice the scripture in Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, 26 through 29. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. I'm going to read a New Living Translation, I think. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First the leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of the wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain's ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, and the harvest time has come. So Jesus says the kingdom of God operates just like seed. Night and day, you don't exactly know how, whether you're asleep or whether you're awake, the seed that's scattered, the seed that finds some type of soil, just begins to grow. You don't understand how. You can't really see your spiritual growth, but you've got to know you're growing spiritually. You can't really say, well, what does it make a difference if I read a chapter in the Bible? What does it make a difference if I actually tithe? What does it make a difference if I actually pray? I can't see God. I can't see my prayers being formulated. I can't see it. That's where you're going to have to believe that everything in the kingdom of God, like it says here, starts as a seed. But it doesn't stay a seed. It's supposed to grow. Notice on the screen several things. Every planting is to produce a harvest. Every planting is to produce a harvest. Everything in the Word of God. The Bible says that every word you read is seed. And it will produce a change. It'll produce that in your life. No matter what it is. If you need peace in your life, there is peace seed in this book. If you need joy in your life, there is joy seed in this book. If you need forgiveness, there is forgiveness seed in the Bible. When you plant that in your life and you water it with the Word of God, you water it every day, it will grow and grow and grow till whatever was holding you, whatever was limiting you, whatever was grabbing you before will be broken in your life and your life will be changed and transformed. The greatest thing anybody can ever say to you is, man, what happened to you? What happened to you? When I went back to my 10th year high school reunion, come on, how many know 10 years will change a person? And they knew me as Gary the druggie, Gary the, you know, the partier, Gary the crazy guy. And I went back at 28 and I was Gary the pastor. Come on, somebody. How many don't freak some people out? I got a word for you. Come on. We're not going to go out and smoke no joints. I got a word for you. Every planting is to produce a harvest. Look on the screen. Seed does no good staying a seed. Seed's got to be planted. Every seed is designed for increase. Every seed is designed for increase. It's not one for one. It's one for 100. It's one for 1,000. Every seed will produce a multiplied effect. And so look, don't get tired of the process. Don't get tired of the process. Just don't get tired of the process. I think we just get too lax. And we think that our spiritual growth is going to kind of be like what's going to happen for a lot of us guys on Sunday after church. We're going to go home from church. We're going to sit our keister in a chair. And we're going to get the buttons. We're going to go, whoo, go Chargers. And we're going to be there until the next game comes. And we're going to be there Sunday night football. And then pretty soon you're going to pass out. And you're going to say, honey, you got anything to eat? And she's going to feed you. And then you're going to watch Sunday some more football. And then you're going to go to bed. That's going to be your day. Can I get a witness? Hey! Let's break that. Come on, somebody. How many know you might want to get up and go walk around the block a little bit? Let's change that up a little bit. Don't get tired of the process. It's the same for everybody. Everything God does in the kingdom of God operates with seed. Last week we talked about several things. Look on the screen. We've got to wind down real quick, so listen fast. We started talking about certain expectations that God has for us. I hope it wasn't coming across too hard, but just like Danny at Starbucks, the boss has expectations for him. Expectations for him. You just don't show up at Starbucks and say, make a coffee ever how you want to make it. Mm-mm. Talk a certain way, look a certain way, think a certain way, do a certain way. If you don't do it this way, you can go serve McDonald's coffee. But you're not working here. And so we think when it comes to church and Christianity and stuff, we're like Burger King. Have it your way. You can make it your way. God says, no, 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 no. It's got to be my way. God talking. It's got to be my way. And I've got expectations for you as a believer. I want you to grow. I want you to develop. I don't want to say carnal. I don't want to be I'm 54. I don't want to be a 54-year-old spiritual baby where things don't go my way and I freak out like I used to do when I was 20. Got to grow. Got to just chill out. Got to develop. Got to do some word time. Got to get on my knees. Got to cry out to God when things don't go my way. Got to find some good friends and develop relationships and be all in so that God can do in me and do in you what He wants to do. Amen? Yeah. We said a couple expectations last week. We'll go over them real quick. Number one, everybody's supposed to be a proclaimer. You're expected to be a proclaimer. We found a scripture from the book of Mark. We looked at Mark's example. And Jesus talked about the very end. They went out and preached everywhere. It says the Lord was working with them, confirming the word through signs following. So everybody's supposed to be a preacher. Proclaim, it says preached everywhere. Simply the word means proclaim. You're to proclaim. Everywhere you go, you're to tell people about Jesus. Everybody. Not preachers, not guys on TV, not special people. All people were to proclaim. So this week, God is going to bring people across your path that you need to proclaim something to. Every student in here, God's going to bring you friends that you need to say something to them about Jesus. Every adult in here, the very same way. You need to look for opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. Number two, we said everybody needs is expected. The Word of God says you're expected to be a teacher. Expected to be a teacher. Woo, freaking me out right now. Well, the Bible says, Paul writes, we think it's Paul, in the book of Hebrews. He talks to them and he says, man, you guys have been believers such a long time and you ought to be teaching others. But now you need somebody to teach you again the basic stuff about God's Word. He says, you ought to be teaching others. And just simply saying this is that we ought to be using our influence to help other people find who Jesus is. Proclaiming, looking at every opportunity. It's a proclamation. It's a, hey, you need Jesus. Hey, let me pray for you. But then this is, I can spend some time and I can write down some notes on a Sunday morning. I can listen to a podcast and I can take some stuff down and I can have a couple of friends and I can influence them with the Word of God that I'm receiving here at church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Expected. Expected. We said this last week, number three, we're expected to restore the fallen. Everybody expected to restore the fallen. It says that brothers and sisters, if somebody's overcome in some kind of sin, you who are godly, you who are spiritual, you know, gently and humbly come to those guys and help them on the right path. Everybody. This is what we do. We help them. That we're here not to hate people. We're here to help people. All kind of people, fallen people. It's what we do. We restore. So we said last week, kind of finished here, that can a divorced person be restored? Of course. Can a drug addict be restored? Of course. Can an adulterer be restored? Of course. Can someone involved in prostitution be restored? Of course. Of course. Can someone involved in homosexuality or lesbianism be restored? Of course. You who are spiritual, restore somebody. Everybody, the church, that's us. We go as friends. We go as fellow people that could be deceived, could be fallen ourselves. And he says, restore them with meekness, restore them with gentleness, restore them with humbleness in your heart, because Jesus is after people. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we don't shoot people down around here. We just try to help people. Just try to help people. You know, but just need to watch ourselves that we're just not discounting certain people. Well, God couldn't do anything with that person. Really? Really, have you read the Bible lately? Have you read the Bible? Noah builds a boat, saves all the 8 folk, gets on the other side, and gets cold turkey drunk. He made it in the book. He's in the heroes of faith. Samson in there, been sleeping with all kind of girls. He's in the book. David slept with Bathsheba. Come on, somebody. David numbered Israel and God said, don't do it. And a bunch of folk got killed. And he is one of the 12 apostles. So be careful who you point your finger at, Hot Rod. Come on, because you might be out, but we believe you're coming back. Come on, somebody. We believe people are coming back. Amen. Amen. Number 4, fourth thing. Write it down. new territory right now, just the next couple minutes, about 10 more minutes. Listen good. Fourth thing that we're expected to do, we're expected to know the truth for ourselves. You're expected to know the truth for yourself. If you never pick up the Bible for yourself, if all you do is hear what I'm speaking here and you never read the Word for yourself, you're going to be greatly, greatly limited. Greatly limited. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 20. We'll start reading in verse 29. To set up the story here, Paul is talking to some men he's been with for a long time. He's not going to see them any longer. And he writes to them these last dear words to really kind of grab them about what's getting ready to happen. He says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves are going to come in and not spare the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will come in and, he says, rise up and speak perverse things and draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I didn't cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. He says, when I leave, can I just say it this way? When I leave, all hell's going to break loose. There's going to be people from your own group that are going to rise up and they're going to try to deceive you and take people away. And there's going to be people come from the outside. And they're going to try to deceive you. And he tells them, if you read it in context, he's telling them and imploring them, remember that for 3 years I was here teaching you diligently the Word of God. Now what he's saying is, pat, pat, pat on the rear end, it's time for you to grow up. Amen. You're expected to know the truth. You're expected not to eat the poison that's out in the world and poison of what was going to happen in this church and other churches in that day where agnostics would come and people that had a form of God but had all kind of different freaky things. Other people would come in and say, we've seen angels and angels have appeared to us and angels have talked to us this different kind of gospel. Kind of sounds like a religion today. He says, I'm expecting you to know the truth. Paul expected the believers to put value on the truth that they heard. And I do realize this, I hope you do too, that the spiritual food you eat will deliver you in times of trouble or challenge. Amen. And so it's important that you eat regularly, that you eat consistently. And so warnings in all the New Testament books, there's warnings to the churches against false teaching. And so he says, it's just time that you grow up. It's time that you know the truth for yourself. It's time that you don't have somebody else spoon-feeding you, but you should be teaching other people as well. You should be a proclaimer as well. You just need to grow up. You need to grow up. Because it's going to come a time that there's going to be guys from within that try to twist it, and guys from without that try to twist it, and you're going to need to know it yourself. And thank God that the Scripture says that you have an anointing. 1 John says this. You've got an anointing on the inside of you called the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Come on, lift your hands if you got the Holy Ghost in here this morning. Amen. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, will show you and tell you things to come. That you might not figure it all out by why somebody's speaking, why somebody's thinking, why you're flipping channels, and it's the Christian channel, and you go, whoo, wow, hey, whoa, what's going on in here? That ain't right. I can't tell you why, but that just don't sit right up in here. What's that? The Holy Ghost is giving you a witness, giving you an unction, giving you a knowing that you need to stay away from that. Amen? Last thing, number five, we're expected, fifth expectation, we're expected, New Testament was, we are too, expected them to use their gifting, to use their gifting. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, each man will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So in other words, we've got a reward coming if we labor. You need to labor. You need to labor in the thing that God's given you to labor in. He says in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. We're just laborers together with God. Everybody needs to labor. Everybody needs to find the assignment that God's birthed in you, what you're good at, what you need to be doing for the kingdom of God. Peter says it this way, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, New Living Translation. He says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Notice that. You each have a gift. Everybody has a gift. Everyone in the room. It's from a great variety of spiritual gifts. And it says here, use that gift, not for yourself, but to serve one another. There's some people that have used their gift only solely for their own benefit. I believe there's people in the kingdom of God, or I believe there's people that are Christians that have a gift of making unbelievable finances to preach the gospel, to let churches preach the gospel, but they use it for themselves. I believe there's men and women that are gifted by God in areas of singing and music, but they use it for the secular entertainment industry. I believe there's people with administration that can help churches and lead churches in certain things, but they use it all for their own benefit and for their own ministry, or their own natural course of work, I should say. In Romans chapter 12, Paul lists a real small list here, but I just want to give you some thought what it says about certain gifts that each one of us have been given. It's a very short list. It's not a culmination of all the gifts the Bible talks about, but it talks about prophecy in Romans chapter 12. Speaking a specific word from God. Maybe God's gifted and graced you that way. Another one is serving. Serving. You've just got a supernatural ability to serve people. You do it with a good attitude. You rally people around and you can administrate them that way. Others with this gift of teaching. Teaching. You've just got, again, a supernatural grace, a gift. Other people witness that you can teach the Word of God. Now, we found out everybody's supposed to teach and influence people, but this person just has a supernatural grace or gifting. Is that you? Another one is encouraging. Encouraging. You're just a person that when somebody's down, God just gives you words and you can build them up. You speak a word. It's like putting water on a plant that hasn't had a drink in a week, and that plant just starts coming up again. An encourager. Another person here is a giver. This gift of giving, again, like I mentioned a moment ago, somebody that God gives supernatural ability to make finances, to propagate the gospel. Everybody's supposed to tithe. Everybody's supposed to give offerings. Everybody's supposed to support the poor. But this person, this man, this woman is supernaturally gifted in this way. Another one is leading. Leading or leadership gift. Again, for being able to rally people around, being able to point a certain direction, being able to take on responsibility, and being able to then administrate that and get people down the road further. Lastly, in this gift is this gift of compassion or mercy. Compassion or mercy. That, you know, people that are involved in helping down and out, and people that are just on the outskirts and just want, just you're compassionate, you're just moved with compassion to help them. That's not everybody, but that's somebody. We need that gift working. Everybody is expected to be using the grace, the talent, the ability, the gifting that God's given them. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you'll abide in me and connect with me, you're going to bear much fruit along with these things that you're gifted in. Ever what it is. And there's no competition. There's no 1 Corinthians 3. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. And he says, you guys are envying. You're full of strife. You're full of division. Your finger point with one another. Leave all that stuff alone. He says, you're carnal. You should be a grown-up adult by now. Wow. Hard word. But we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to be developing. We're supposed to be increasing. God wants fruit. More fruit, much fruit, and He wants our fruit to remain. Amen? Amen? Spiritual growth is a journey for every one of us. And if you feel stuck today, you know, I'd encourage you, just like they tell us, and they've got certain people that, you know, work out, and they say, if you're stuck in your workout routine physically in your Bible, shake it up. Do something different. Do muscles have an amazing way that's called muscle memory. And they're used to you doing that certain exercise, and you'll reach a plateau. Well, you need to shake it up. So now all the CrossFit and the cross training and all that stuff's gone into effect, and they see people that do stuff for extended periods of time that you're like going, my goodness. You guys ever watch that stuff from Carson, California? The CrossFit guys? Nobody? What do you guys do all day? Anyway, I don't know. You don't watch TV all day? No, it's just crazy seeing these guys do all these, and ladies do all these different exercises, and how they can keep doing it, repeated. Like, how do you not wear down? Believe me, it started with a seed. It kept growing and growing. And your spiritual growth will be the same way. If you say, man, I'm just not a very kind person. Do you know that there's scriptures that if you'll get them in your life, they'll produce kindness in your life? You feel, I'm just angry. I'm always angry. It's like, man, I got the shortest fuse. You know the scriptures in the Bible? That if you'll put them in your heart and you'll plant them and you begin allowing the Word of God to water that, your anger will be minimized. And you won't have such a short fuse. And you'll begin walking in the God kind of love. Everything in the Bible starts a seed. God expects you and I to grow. He expects us to grow. And the growth isn't just for you. The growth is for what people are going to partake from your life. The tree doesn't eat its own fruit. The fruit is for other people to eat. Can you say amen? Yeah. Come on, stand up, everybody. Come on, stand up. Prayer partners, come help me this morning. Carlos, come help me with the piano. I think he's here. Bow your head. Would you do that this morning? Father God, we just thank you for an amazing day with worship, with people getting baptized, following you in that. Father God, thank you today for the Word of God going forth. We're hearing what you want us to hear this morning, that we want to grow, we want to be changed. We're not desiring to be the same. So Father God, we set our hearts to grow spiritually, to grow spiritually, to not stay just natural men and women. But Father, we've been challenged today. We see that you're expecting us to be developed. And so Father, we pray by the Holy Spirit, help us not stay stuck. We've all known people, Father, who have been stuck all their life, stuck in that same dead-end job, stuck in that same thing that happened 15 years ago. We don't want to be that kind of person. We don't want to be that way spiritually. So Father, we just set our minds that we're going to grow. Right now, everyone with your head bowed, your eyes closed, I just want to talk to you if you're here for the first time, or maybe you've been here many times, and you've just never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Everything I've said today really about growing has its seed, its beginning in you making a commitment to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That's the beginning of your growth. That's the beginning of your trajectory up to a person that God can use, a person that the real you will really come out, that you'll begin to experience life change. Starts by you saying, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. It makes no difference what your story is, where you've been. God will take you right as you are. Everybody has a story. And we want to hear yours. We definitely want to hear yours. But listen to me. Don't get stuck in your story. Jesus wants to come into your life today. He wants to make all things new if you'll let Him. I'm going to ask you just in the next couple seconds to do something really bold. We do that around here. We say, if you want Jesus, do something bold. Raise your hand. Then I'm going to ask you to take another step. I'm going to ask you to come right down here to the front and meet me and let me pray with you. Because we believe that there's something about an action that you'll do in just lifting your hands and coming down to the front that'll just stir up belief and faith in you to receive everything that God has for you. So you're here today. It's been an amazing service. Your head's bowed. Your eyes closed. Maybe your heart's beating a little fast right now. Maybe your hands are getting sweaty. We've all been there. Do you know Jesus? Do you know what would happen if you died tonight? One of the guys at baristas at Starbucks.